We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home. We had been in the middle of Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. Rabbi Levitas ish Yavne Omer. Rabbi Levitas, the important man of Yavne, he used to say, Me'od mo devei shfal ruach. A person should be very, very humble. So that's where we stopped, and we discussed the great evils of haughtiness and how that really is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a vicious cycle where a person repeatedly stands in his own way of advancing, and it really prevents a person from fixing himself, and that this can be the doom of a marriage once we're dealing with haughtiness. So that we discussed last week. Rabbi Levita seemingly gives us a reason. Why should you be so humble? Shetikvat enosh rima. Because ultimately all of humanity ends up as vermin. Think just a few years down the road. In English we say you're going to be fish food. So in Talmudic language you're going to be worm food. So right now you have this beautiful form. It's not so far off when you're a bunch of those little worms crawling all around with parts of a person. So what's going on here? Really, haughtiness stems from a lie that a person develops, his own ego, his own honor, not a true ego, a false ego. And what happens is that the facts start becoming confused. The truth starts becoming confused. Seeing someone else starts becoming blurry. A person starts focusing on himself, but not in a true sense, on what he'd like people to think he is. The ga'ava, the false pride, is really a product of a lie. I want people to think that I'm so talented. Wait a second. Who gave you that talent? Who gave you the capacity to hear, see, speak? How much of that is to our own credit? So ga'ava is really building a castle in thin air, and part of the issue is that a person wants other people to believe his gava, and then it becomes a goal in and of itself. And then it becomes a difficult task for a person to see their true self, because they're very busy with that image that they want to portray, that external image. And what the Mishnah reminds us is, a person has to ask himself, where am I headed? Where am I going to end up? When a person starts realizing that I could have all the looks I want today, I could have all the wealth I want today, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be vermin. So then it gets a little bit more difficult to say, do you know who I am? Yeah, I know that's who you are today. It's all fictitious. So today, you have this accomplishment or that accomplishment. So, ga'ava melts. That fool's honor or that fool's pride really melts behind the recognition of a long-term relationship. And if a person only thinks, what are the fruits of this pride? Let's take a relationship. Person tries to convince people that he is such and such a tzaddik. It's very nice, but is he really? So then he has to start investing a lot of efforts into maintaining that false facade. And suddenly, it's not about being the tzaddik, it's about getting everyone to think I'm the tzaddik. And God forbid they should see that day I overslept and I put on tefillin over there. So now what price am I going to pay? So where am I going to put on tefillin when I wake up late? Or now I'm faced with a challenge which I shouldn't really be faced with. Do I put on tefillin and risk everyone seeing I'm not the tzaddik I want them to think I am? Or do I not? Ah, no, I won't do that. But now I have to figure something else out. So now I'm investing energies in ensuring that I maintain the facade, which is really not, it's not me. I'm not holding there yet. And many a time, people play this game in marriage. I know the son of a millionaire who got married as the son of a millionaire, and then his father lost his assets. But he never settled in his mind that he's no longer the millionaire or the son of a millionaire. So anything his wife asks for, he says yes. She wants a vacation to the Bahamas? Sure.
Does she know?
So you charge the credit card. It's okay. We're making good money. Everything's good. It's not good. So now what? It's like a Ponzi scheme. At some point, it's going to explode. And it stems from a facade, a fool's honor. If a person could only stop and ask himself, where's this all going to? At the end, we're all vermin. So what? So I don't have to play this game. I don't have to think he's less than me either, because part of fool's pride is I got to put down the other and pick up myself and then, look at me. But if I can recognize I'm not that great, okay. So I'm like him and he's like me, and okay, we can make do. The Mishnah is talking to us about being true people. And part of being a true person is thinking long term and recognizing that things explode. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, kol amchalel shem shemayim baseter. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, if someone desecrates God's name in hiding, meaning outside, I only eat badatz. But at home, well, if the chocolate bar is exceptionally delicious, then hey, look, the ingredients look good to me. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't read the ingredients, but it tastes good to me. There are people like that. And the Mishnah calls that Mechalel Shem Shemayim Baseter. It's a desecration of God's name in hiding. So, what's a person like that doing? He's playing the same game the beginning of the Mishnah talked about. His focus is on what facade am I presenting the world. And this is an especially big challenge to Chozrim B'Tshuva. When a person is Chozer B'Tshuva, so then they have a tremendous desire to really be a truthful servant of Hashem. And their desire is far stronger than other people's. A ger, a chozer b'tshuva. They have fantastic desire. The Talmud says, kashim gerim kasapachat, that gerim are harmful to the Jewish people like a blemish, like a white blemish that defiles the whole body. So the commentaries say, what, a ger? We love a ger. What's the problem with a ger? The Talmud says, yeah, but God looks down and sees his people and they're not as excited as the gerim. A ger comes into Judaism and he grabs everything with two hands and he wants to do everything just right. And then God looks at the Jewish people and says, what's with you guys? How come they're so excited? And you, where are you? So then God says, okay, look at the gerim and look at you. So that's not such a good thing for Am Yisrael. It's like a white blemish on a body. It's white, it's beautiful. You say white is pure. No, the whole body becomes defiled from that white spot. So a ger that comes into Am Yisrael, the Talmud says, can sometimes have the same effect because they're so excited, because they're so positive. So then that reflects badly on us. Hashem says, and why aren't you? So the Gerim, they're great, good for them. We got to work on ourselves. It's not an indication about them, it's an indication about us. But sometimes that extra excitement in a Ger, a Chozer B'Tshuva, leads a person to a certain challenge. Meaning, the person feels like, I want to be the top. I want to be the most God-fearing person. I haven't yet learned how, but that's what I want. And then, it's very easy to be misled into taking shortcuts. So one guy decides, okay, I want to be extra pious. I'll grow my pace long. I'll wear a big fat yarmulke. I'll wear my yarmulke when I take a shower. I'll have a milchik and pleishik toothbrush. Wait a second. Wait. There are basics. Let's learn the basics. Let's grow. But it stems from a fantastic place. It stems from a desire that Hashem really demands of us. Everyone knows, I just got another email from someone who's a ger. Everyone knows that they have their things that they do that no one else does, and it stems from a tremendous desire. I just got this past week another email from someone who heard that class in which we discussed the tendency of a person to try and do things that are exceptional because there's a really, really good desire in the person. But then a person can sometimes leap into all kinds of chumras and all kinds of things which are really contradictory. Where a person says, wait a second, am I living up to everything else? I wake up besiegen every morning. But then, am I falling asleep on the job? Do I have the patience for my kids when I'm taking them out the gun? Or am I a nervous wreck with my wife and kids because I have to get up besiegen in the morning? So am I paying a price that's correct to pay for what I'm doing? It's not really correct. Am I being consistent to that level of piety? No. I once met a guy who used to get up at 2 o'clock every morning and go to his store at 2 o'clock. And 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd be learning till Pasik, and he'd be learning for hours. He had a store, and he'd be learning for hours. But his midos, the way he yelled at customers, he was such an antsy person, you know. Guy's not getting enough sleep at night, he's yelling at everyone. You asked yourself, okay, is that really a price that's correct to pay? It's not consistent. And so the Mishnah says sometimes a person is mechalel shem shamayim baseto, meaning in hiding or in things that are not so public, he's not consistent. He's very far from being consistent to the point of a chilul Hashem, where he says, no, that's not so important. Is it really not so important, or do you not even know? A couple sitting at preparing for Shabbos, comes Shabbos, and the husband says, you know, the kids always drive me crazy at the meal. This one wants the kidney beans from the children, this one wants the potatoes from the children, this one. I'm going to get up early before davening, and I'll start picking out the kidney beans. I'll make a separate plate of kidney beans for the kid. And the wife says, isn't that Bora? He says, Bora, don't worry about it. It's okay. I'm just taking the kidney beans. So she's right. He's wrong. Very often husbands baha what wives say, and they got a good point. A person can try on the outside to make a facade like we saw in the beginning of the Mishnah, and then the question is, what's going on the inside? And the Torah really demands of us something that's very tough. The Torah demands of us to have consistent growth, but with consistency. So you haven't yet covered all the halachos, so learn. Learn, and that's what we'll see in the next Mishnah. But the Mishnah tells us a scary line, Nifayim mimenu bagalui. Hashem says when he pays back a person like that, he pays him back publicly. Because the guy, in private, he was one thing. In public, he tried to show a different face. But in public, he was really, in private, he was desecrating Hashem's name. So we, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're not on that level. We're not a guy who won't put on tefillin just so that outside no one should say, I missed minyan. We won't forgo a mitzvah. We won't really be Michalel Shem Shemaim Basetel. A guy who in hiding is willing to go to the point of desecrating Hashem's name. But a person who does go to that point, where desecrating Hashem's name is not important to him, so long as no one knows about it, so then Hashem says, Niflein mimenu vagalui, he gets paid back publicly. Hashem ensures that things are public. Echad shogeg ve'echad mezid b'chilul Hashem. And when it comes to chilul Hashem, Hashem says, I pay back publicly, be it if a person did it by mistake or on purpose. Rabbi Yishmael omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, Halomed Torah al menat lelamed, someone who learns Torah for the sake of teaching it, maspikin biyado lilmod ulamed. So in heaven, they grant them the capacity to learn and teach. And then the Rabbi Yishmael then says, Valomed al menat lasot, but someone who learns for the sake of performing what he's learned, so that person must begin biyado in heavens, they will afford him the capacity, lilmod ulamed lishmo v'lasot, to learn and teach and perform. It always bothered me that the Mishnah seems to skip step one. What happens with a person who's just learning for the sake of learning? Maybe he's not planning on teaching. Maybe he's not planning on performing. So maybe that's what the previous Mishnah was talking about. The Chilul Hashem guy. You're learning, you're not performing. What kind of person is that? No, you got to at least learn in order to teach. And this is a point that, again, I think every person here has to take to heart. So you're not yet the chief rabbi of Israel. When you're there, remember, you knew me once. Okay, accept my phone calls. But at this point, you have to know that you're still learning for the sake of teaching and performing. Every person has a responsibility to teach. Alomed Torah al menat lelamed, for the sake of teaching. And if you can't teach a top level shir, so teach a low level shir. There are people who know less than you. Could be people in the machon. It could be people outside the machon. If we already mentioned this, I'll add parenthetically. My policy always was that if I'm teaching children, it's only in a public place. And I recommend the same for you. I would never teach a child other than my own child, right? I'll never teach someone else's child, especially as a bachelor, in anywhere that was private. Only in a public library, public based medrash, where people were present. Ben Azmanim, I wouldn't teach anyone. And even if you're 100% right, you got to make sure that no one could ever say anything about you. And I'm telling you again, this was something I did myself when I was a bachelor. Baruch Hashem, no one ever said anything about me. But I think that a person has to behave in a way that he ensures that no one can say anything about him. That's what Chazal teaches. So if we mention the importance of teaching, it's also important to mention, do it in a way that's right. Do it in a public place, and only in a public place. Rabbi Yishmael says, a person who learns Torah for the sake of teaching, God will grant him the capacity to learn and teach. And every one of us has to know that there are areas where we can teach. You don't have to be the chief rabbi of Israel. You don't have to make a blog where you're teaching the whole world. You could. Good for you. That's fine. But I'm just saying, you should find the places to teach. Teaching brings out in all of us things that we don't know we have. You suddenly come and you realize how much you have. And the fact that you teach also forces you to learn more. You also understand the material better. You review the material better. A person has to teach. Every person. I don't think any person should think he's free of that. If you know only the Aleph Beis, you know more than the guy who doesn't know the Aleph Beis. You know more than other people, and there are people who could use your teaching. I once was approached by the family of an old widow who was home alone, and they didn't know what to do with her time-wise. And I said, why doesn't she teach? So she has time on her hands. You know how many kids there are who don't have anyone who could do homework with them? How many kids who have been abused or whose parents are newcomers to Israel and they don't know the language? So she can't go out and work. Fine, so she's at home. She's 85 years old, but she can teach a little boy how to learn. So they'll sit down with the little kid and teach him how. Aleph Beis, teach him Parsha. There's a lot to teach, and everyone has things they can teach. And I think every person has to see it as his responsibility. Some people are better at it. Some people are worse at it. It doesn't matter. Every person has to have a little bit of their time that they teach. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his responsa, he says, just like we have to take a tithe, the tenth of our money, to give to charity, so too a person has to take a tithe, the tenth of his time, to learn with someone who is weaker than themselves. You have to take a tenth of the time you have to learn, and learn with someone who knows a little less than you, who is benefiting more from the relationship than you are. You don't have to take the lowest level there is. You could take a guy who's only slightly lower than you, but you should take someone who's on a lower level than you. And by the way, if you get paid for the time, that's also kosher. It still counts as a tithe. You're allowed to get paid for the tutoring time. That's okay. And when it comes to the home, so then it's very important. You guys should start preparing Divrei Torah for Shabbos. I never asked for a Dvar Torah at my table. I hated when they did it to me when I was a yeshiva guy. Instead of enjoying the Shabbos meal, I'd have to be under pressure until they finally asked me to say a Dvar Torah. Sometimes it ruined the whole meal. So I never asked. Never. On principle, I never ask for a Dvar Torah. But at the same time, the right thing for you guys is to get into the habit to prepare nice Divrei Torah for your kids, to prepare nice midrash and nice stories, to practice saying them. I won't ask you, but if you offer at the table, can I say Dvar Torah? If only time allows it, I'll be happy to let you say it. And it doesn't have to be at my home. You should get into the habit of preparing. Your job as a parent, as a father, is to teach. To teach your wife, to teach your children, to share with them a little bit. Sometimes the house can start on a certain level spiritually, and the demands that life places on a home, the demands that a job and everything else places, can cause that things go into quick decline spiritually. So go to a good class, download a good class, listen on MP3, but you have to grow. And you have to realize it's your responsibility as a teacher, not just as a parent. You're supposed to be a teacher. I think that it's important to prepare a little bit of halacha. In the days of Chazal, on Shabbos, they didn't allow people to learn Tanakh because they'd go to shul on Shabbos and hear a speech that taught them stories and midrashim and halacha. Where did midrashim come from? Why are midrashim said in such simplistic form? Because midrashim originally was the way of gathering the masses. When they'd want to teach halachos on Shabbos, they'd first tell a whole story in the Midrash, a whole story about Esav, a whole story about Yaakov, a whole story, doesn't matter about what, a positive story, a story with important messages about how to be a good person, and intertwined in the story, they'd stick in the halachos that the people had to learn. So they take stories from our tradition, the tradition we have about what happened. They didn't just fabricate stories, But they use them as ways of teaching the masses. And we have to learn how to attract people to learning Torah, how to speak in a way that attracts people. And now's the time. Get started. You guys have an opportunity now. And one of the advantages is that you'll start learning which books you enjoy, which books you can find the Dvar Torah in. Your job as parent of the house is lelamed, to strengthen the Torah in the house, at the Shabbos table, at regular meals, in conversation. But you have to have what to give, so you got to learn for the sake of teaching. The Mishnah then says, a person who learns with the intent of performing, so then God will give him the capacity to learn and to teach and to perform. And this reminds us of our responsibility to also learn Svar Man Halacha, learn some Kitzur Shulchan Aruch during the day. It's not enough just to learn Midrashim every day. Now I want to challenge you, because this is something which I think every person should know. I once wanted to have a class to make chavrusas between new guys at Machon Meir and balabatim in the community. And the chavrusa I wanted was that the balabayis, every chavrusa takes him home and focuses on a different part of life that involves halacha. So now let's think for a minute. Let's take the most simplest things, the clothing we wear. What mitzvahs do we have pertaining to the clothing we wear? Everyone should think of one mitzvah. Guys, think for a minute. You'll start seeing how in everything there are halachos. And this is an excellent way to teach your kids. You can just walk around the house and start seeing, where do we have halacha? Okay, what's one halacha you can think of? Mike? Tzitzit. Okay. Betzalel. Shatnez. Zev. It's going to get harder as you go around. Okay. Kohanim have special clothes. Modesty and clothes. What else? Dope. Shechionu on new clothes. Yeah, Shimron. What else do we know about clothes? Ladies cover their hair. Men shouldn't wear women's clothing. Women shouldn't wear men's clothing. Yeah. What else? Huh? Modesty for men and women. Yeah. Minhag to wear kippah. Look at how many things we came up with already about clothing. Clothes, you shouldn't wear stinky clothing. It's a chilul Hashem. Oh, okay. Clothing should belong to you, not stolen clothing. Okay, so we just discussed clothing. Look at how many mitzvahs you guys know about. Let's talk about eating. How many mitzvahs can we think about when it comes to eating? Brachot, nitilat yadayim. What else?
Kosher food.
Kosher food. What else?
Cooking of the food.
Truma, Meiser, milk, meat, Tumatara. What else? Huh? Oh, we have special meals. We have times when we must eat. We have times when we may not eat. Right? You see how many mitzvos? You can sit down with your kid. Everything you look at, the more you know, the more you can discuss. A house. What mitzvos pertain to a house? Mezuzah. What else? What menorah?
Hanukkiah.
Hanukkiah, right? Ishu Beito, right?
Leaving the square.
Okay, Zechel Chorban Abayit. Business. How many mitzvahs do we have about business? There are a lot of mitzvahs about doing interest, contract, not stealing. Okay. Giving true testimony, fair scales, not on Saturdays. Okay, so in order to give our children, we ourselves have to know. The more we know, the more we can give our children. You guys have a basic knowledge, excellent. Learn more. One of the things I tell guys when they're going into the army is that they should take 2 minutes a day, 2 minutes they could do, learn at least one mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvot HaKatzar of the Chafetz Chaim. A short book of mitzvahs. You could learn a mitzvah a day. You guys in yeshiva could take 5 minutes and do 3 or 4 mitzvahs a day. So you have to learn for the sake of performing. It can't be that a guy goes through Machon Meir and he doesn't know that there are mitzvahs like not taking interest. Like I had a group of guys who went through 10 years of yeshiva and they didn't know that there's a biblical prohibition of neutering. You're not allowed to castrate an animal. You're not allowed to castrate a human. You're not allowed to castrate an animal. You got to know that. People sometimes think they could just do a birth control. You have to know. There are halachos about that, biblical halachos. You have to know what mitzvos exist. And in order to perform the Torah, you got to learn for the sake of performing. So one of the things you got to do is learn. But learn for the sake of performing. It's not enough just to learn medrash. You got to learn for the sake of performing. And it's a good thing to get the children involved. You could have at the Shabbos table that you learn a mitzvah each Shabbos. As a child growing up, we did this. Every Shabbos we'd learn the Minchas Chinuch. My father would learn with us. Every Shabbos another mitzvah from the Parsha. And we did the cycle year after year after year, and then we'd go more in depth. We'd also learn the Minchas Chinuch, a little bit of the Pilpulim, the halachic depths that are discussed about each mitzvah. That's not so necessary. If what you can do at this stage is just learn the Sefer HaChinuch about each mitzvah, okay? But this involves preparation, and it involves an attitude that says, this is our life, we have to know more about it. Lomed, like the Mishnah says, for the sake of teaching and performing. So that's a way of life that we have to adopt. Rabbi Tzadok Omer. Rabbi Tzadok says, okay, you're going to learn Torah. You're going to learn for the sake of performance. We said you're not going to do a Chilul Hashem, right? You're not going to be like the previous Mishnah says, where externally you show off and internally you really don't perform. But, Al ta'aseh matara l'itgadel b'hem. Don't make the Torah into a crown. Some people make the Torah as, look at how much I know. It's interesting that we have one quote in Talmud that says, he who learns not for the sake of God, so it's better if he were never born. We have another area in Talmud where it says, if a person learns not for the real sake, that's good, that's the way to start, he'll ultimately get there. So the Tosas asks, well, wait a second, in one place you say, if you don't do it for the real purpose, better if a guy wasn't born. In the other place you say, you start out, shelo lishma mitoch shelo lishma balishma. It's an evolvement process. A person starts off not doing it for the right intentions, and with time he'll evolve. Tosas says the difference is, what's his motive? One person, he's not doing it for the perfect motive yet. He's doing it because he wants people to think that he knows. He's doing it because he wants to know what to say in shul. He's doing it because he wants a title rabbi. Okay, it's not perfect, but it'll evolve into better motives. Then you have a guy who's doing it because he always wants to tell people, oh, you're wrong at that. No, that's not the way you do it. I learned that there's an opinion that says you got to do it better than that. That's called lekanter. He's doing it so he could always tell people where they're wrong. That, the Talmud says, better you, that person was never born. So our Mishnah says we shouldn't use the Torah as a crown. But this is a high level. Most people are at a stage where they are proud by their Torah knowledge, and we have to realize that that's part of what the Talmud says. It's an evolvement process. So long as you're not doing it to pick on people, to show them where they're wrong, if it's just because you're using it as a crown, it's not right, but it's an evolvement. Everyone starts off not doing it fully for the right intent, and with time they evolve.
Isn't that using Ketel Torah?
It is using Ketel Torah, it is. It's not right. But it's an evolvement process. We grow in that. V'lo kardom lachpor ba, don't use Torah as your source of sustenance. Don't use Torah for your parnasa. Don't get a job based on Torah. We discussed halachically how today we were lenient in this. Technically, the Mishnah did not want people to get paid for teaching Torah. In the days of the Mishnah, this was the halacha. And as time evolved, then we applied certain leniencies, but it's leniencies. Pashup Shan, the Mishnah, is no, don't use the Torah as your shovel. Don't use it as your way of making a parnasa. And that's what Hillel used to teach. He who uses the crown of Torah will pass from the world. You've learned from this. Someone who benefits from the Torah, he knows. He uses it for his own benefit, takes his life out of this world. So that's why the Rambam has a whole long piece on the Mishnah over here, about how wrong it is that people get paid for teaching Torah and demand sums for teaching Torah. And that was the halacha until almost a millennium ago. Then the rabbis realized that it's not going to work. People are not going to be able to learn Torah if they don't have some kind of stipend, some kind of payment by the communities. And then the communities chipped in. What the Rambam primarily is yelling about is the people who demanded a sum, where they'd force the community to pay them, and that the Rambam was against. But all of this we discussed at length. We have classes online in the question and answer section, and you're welcome to visit them on torahforme.org. So what do we see today? We began today with the Mishnah of Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavne, that everyone should be exceptionally humble, and one of the ways to attain that is by realizing that ultimately we're all going to be vermin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka discussed the person who in private is one way, he's desecrating God's name, and publicly he makes believe he's all modest. And we discussed that these two have in common, that a person presents a public facade that is unreal, that's all about false pride. and then God takes him to task over that. And we discussed that part. It's important to be consistent in the building of a home. Then we learned Rabbi Yishmael, who discussed learning Torah for the sake of teaching. We said every person has a responsibility to teach. We quoted Igros Moshe, every person should take a tithe of their time. And we said if a person learns for the sake of performing, then he will merit to learn and teach and perform. We discussed that every person has to have this aspect of his learning, that's for the sake of performance, that's halacha lemaisa. Then we ended up with the discussion of not using the Torah as a person's crown and not using it as his source of sustenance. Let's quickly do 1 minute on Tehillim.